Good morning. First, today is Mother's Day. I trust all of you who are fathers have appropriately acknowledged the mother of your children. And those of us who have mothers who are still living have acknowledged our mothers as well. My mother is 94, and she was going to go out to meeting today. And she has not been doing well, as you know, from the prayer pointers, but she's been doing a little better. So she said she would go out to the meeting today if it wasn't raining. Now, I don't know. That's Philadelphia. I don't know what the weather forecast is there and what's happening. But anyway, I trust you have acknowledged mothers. After all, where would we be without them? That's a pretty evident thing, isn't it? I might say that today will be the last. Well, it won't be the last, but it'll be a while before we will be back in the assembly. Wednesday night, we will be going out to Boiling Springs for the viewing of our brother Doug Bates, who passed away. And then Friday, we head to Spanish Wells in the Bahamas for three Sundays. So it won't be till four Sundays from now that, Lord willing, we will be back to be with you. And we would very much value your prayers for that time. It's not a resort. We're not going down to sit in the sun. First of all, I'm not allowed to sit in the sun. And so we just value your prayers for the ministry. I haven't counted them fully, but I think I have responsibility ministering 12 times in that period. So I would appreciate your prayers. And I'm sure Bruce would too. Bruce will be coming down a week and a half later, and he will be ministering down there as well. So he has responsibilities. You might be praying about that. Also, Lord willing, we have lived in York now, I don't know what it is, 17, 18 years, in a home that I designed because of the Bible study program, and we met in that home for 15 of those years. And we have now come to the conclusion that we don't need that home. So this week our home is going up for sale. So if you have a check and you want to come see me before I sign with the realtor, we could negotiate something so that we could split the commission or something like that. But Lord willing, if plans go the way they are, we will be building a new home out toward Dover and a little less property and things like that to care for. So just pass that on to you, and also appreciate your prayer for that. 1 Corinthians chapter 12. Yesterday we had our last Bible study for the season. Starts up again in September. We had over 60 people here yesterday. It was an excellent turnout. And I know Nancy was a little concerned about the quantity of food, although it turned out fine. But as often is the case after such a study, she has a migraine this morning. So that's why she's not with us. And I just pray and hope that you will pray that she recovers quickly before it gets into any extended situation. Verse 15. Well, we'll read 14. And what is the subject here is the body. Now, it's talking about the church, and it's using the picture of a body, a human body, to talk about the members of a local church. Now, when we say members of a local church, we're talking about those who have put their faith in the Lord Jesus and fellowship in a local church or an assembly like we do here. And each one who comes to know Christ as their Savior is added to the body, and they become a member. Not a member because they join something or they take a pledge or whatever they do. It's not that way. They become a member when they put their faith in the Lord Jesus. And Paul is teaching about members of the body, really talking about members of the assembly, members of the church. So he says, for the body is, verse 14, for the body is not one member but many. That's pretty obvious as we look at our own bodies. It's not all one thing. There are many members. And he says, if the foot shall say, because I am not the hand, I am not of the body, is it therefore not of the body? In other words, if a member should say, I'm not a hand, which is more, at least in this person's opinion, more prominent, more important, then I'm not really part of this thing. I'm not really part of this body or this assembly because I'm not one of the prominent members like the hand. Then I'm not part of it. And what the writer Paul is saying through the Holy Spirit is, in essence, yes, you are. Verse 16, and if the ear shall say, behold, or because I am not the eye, I am not of the body, is it therefore not of the body? And so it's a similar question. The ear is now contrasting or comparing itself to the eye, and the ear doesn't think that the eye, after all, is right out front. You know, the ear is kind of to the side and often hidden. Particularly if ladies have longer hair, their ears are hidden, so the eye gets, you know, is out there doing its thing. And the ear is a little dissatisfied with its position. And that's what's involved here, is discontent. And you know, when God places us, He places us, He's all wise. And we don't want to be discontent with where He places us in the body, whether He makes us a foot, hand, ear, eye, or whatever. The important thing is that we do the function to which He's assigned us. You know, in the military or in the sports world, particularly more in the sports world, maybe we get people who just aren't willing to play, you know, a certain position. They have to be up front all the time. Well, the best team is where everybody does what he's supposed to do. And I think probably the New England Patriots, of our teams over the last 3-4 years, have proven, and their coach has been able to convince them that the best way this team will win and the best thing for this team to do is for each team member to do what he can do best. And that's the way they function. And that's true at the assembly. Rather than sitting around and saying, I'm not this, I'm not that, the point is you get busy doing what the Lord has enabled you to do and put you to do. And then if we each do our function, it will work. So he's talking about those members who are discontent and so forth, and therefore they take the approach, well, then I'm not part of this. Verse 17, if the whole body were an eye, where were the hearing? It's a pretty evident question. I think the answer is evident as well. If the whole body was an eye, we wouldn't be able to hear, because the eye cannot hear. If the whole were hearing, where were the smelling? Because my ear can't smell. So if everything was, you know, the ear, then we wouldn't be able to exercise the sense of smelling. And if they were all one member, where were the body? In other words, if the whole thing was just an eye, there's not really a body anyway. It's a monstrosity. And so what he's saying is each should do their part. And if they were all one member, where were the body? Verse 19, verse 20. But now are they many members, yet one body. Lots of members, but only one body. There's one assembly, one body, many members. Then he goes on to a different problem. And the eye cannot say unto the hand, I have no need of thee. See, the first section is dealing with people say, you don't need me. I'm nothing. I'm a foot. I'm an ear. You don't really need me. I'm of no value. And that's a problem in the assembly if it occurs. And if you're here and you're part of this assembly and that's the way you feel, well, you're incorrect. You're part of the body and you're needed and you need to do the function where God has placed you. You're not responsible. If you're a foot, you're not responsible for what the hand does. You're responsible for what feet do. But now he takes on a different approach, and that approach is this. I can handle it all. I don't need any of you. That's the other approach. First approach, you don't need me. I'm not important. Second approach is, I don't need you. You know, a member of the body can say, I can do it all, so I don't need you. And I think it's pretty evident from our human body, we don't have one member in our body that can do it all. And it's silly to try. And we've all probably had occasions where, you know, our arms are filled with something coming in the door, and we're trying to do with our feet what our hands are. We're trying to open a door with our feet, and it's not the easiest. And so we can't do it all. And so he says, I have no need of thee, nor again the head to the feet. I have no need of you. Well, how would the head get around? We look at it that way if there were no feet. So it's evident that what Paul is driving home is the body needs the members. And all the members are important, and no one member can do it all. We can summarize that passage. All the members are needed, and no one member can do it all. But what I want to draw your attention to this morning is the fact that Paul puts a value on our ears. I probably couldn't state how important your ears are. Now, I'm starting to lose one of them, and I sense it more and more, particularly when someone soft speaks to me on the left side, or if I pick up the phone on the left side and the person really isn't yelling at me, then I have to instantly come around to this side. And I know there are those of you sitting here who understand fully what I mean. And if it continues the way it is, I'll have to put my pride aside and get one of those things you plug in your ear with a battery in it, you know. But the ears are important. We don't always think about them. They're not the most attractive things. In fact, lots of times we hide them intentionally sometimes. Other times we adorn them. Now they cover with them with rings and so forth to the point where you don't really see the ear anymore. I can tell you this, having worked in an eye clinic for, let's say, 16 months while in the military, it is typical and normal for you to have one ear lower than the other. So if you look in the mirror and your one ear is lower than the other, don't panic. You are probably in the 99th percentile. And the way you can find that out is if you wear glasses, just take them off, lay them down. You're going to see one bow is up and one, you know, one bow's down, one bow's up. That's normal. And I would say to you, maybe the other way is true. If they're perfectly level, you're odd. So our ears are not normally thought of as, you know, those things that we kind of flaunt or see as very important. But Paul uses them as an illustration here in this text. And it's important that we understand the importance of hearing. Your ears are going to determine, and I want to say this twice, your ears are going to determine where you spend eternity. That puts some importance on them, doesn't it? It isn't just, of course, hearing in the sense of mechanically, you know, the sound waves striking our eardrums and so forth. Because we know that when it comes to spiritually hearing and believing, those who are truly deaf hear spiritually. They may read the truth, and in reading it, but they really hear it, meaning they heed it, they take it in. And that's the vast difference, isn't it? You can hear it mechanically, or you can hear it spiritually, where it really comes into the inner man, registers on the heart, is received, and changes individuals and people. And even those who are both blind and deaf, they hear through various means. They hear the message and they believe. But using the picture of the ear as Paul does, hearing And your ears are going to determine where you spend eternity. In fact, as you go through the Word of God, it may be the most valuable member we have. How we hear. Yesterday we looked at Romans, and you could turn there, Romans chapter 10, because we were talking about faith yesterday. And we were in Romans chapter 10 and verse 17. And we'll break into the middle of the text. Paul is really dealing with the nation of Israel here, but he gives us this principle. So then faith cometh by hearing. And the word hearing there is really the thought of a report. Faith comes by someone bringing a report. Faith is believing God when he speaks. That's faith. It's not building up some feeling. It's not building up, pumping ourselves up and believing and believing and believing in faith. It's believing God when he speaks. It's taking God at his word. So there's a report, and faith comes by a report. You need the report. And that report and hearing comes, and that report comes by the word of God. True hearing. Hearing that will change your destiny comes from the Word of God. The destiny of all people who are never converted is ultimately into the lake of fire and separated from God forever. That's the Bible. That's not me. That's not some church fathers or somebody, what they wrote, or someone wrote a book. That's the Word of God over and over and over again, stressing to us, as I mentioned 2 weeks ago, graciously God telling us that judgment's coming and graciously giving us an opportunity to do something about it. And how we hear and take in the gospel of the Lord Jesus is going to determine where we spend eternity. You know, men talk about determining their own destiny. Well, in many cases they do. Many senses they do. They determine their own destiny because they won't listen to the gospel of the Lord Jesus. Thankfully, there'll be many scores who have heard the gospel of the Lord Jesus, have seen their need of a Savior, have put their faith in the Lord Jesus. They have taken in the message, they've heard it, and their destiny has changed. Instead of being headed on the broad road that leads to destruction, they're now on a path that takes you to glory, to be forever with the Lord, the Scripture says. Go to Matthew 13. This is a well-known passage known as the parable of the sower. And of course, it's a parable that really demonstrates for us the hearing of the Word of God. Matthew 13, verse 1. The same day went Jesus out of the house and sat by the seaside, and the great multitudes were gathered unto him. So he went into a boat and sat, and the whole multitude stood on the shore. And he spoke many things unto them in parables, saying, Behold, a sower went forth to sow. This is a person who is sowing seed. We can envision someone with a sack, loaded down with seed, and he just dips his hand in the sack, unlike the mechanical methods we have today where everything is mechanically placed. The machine punches a hole in the ground, drops in the seed, drops in some fertilizer maybe, and covers up the hole. It's not like that. He's just taking this seed and he's just scattering it everywhere. So he says, a sower went forth to sow. And when he sowed, some of the seeds fell by the wayside. That would be a place where people walked. It would be kind of a hard path. And the fowls came and devoured them. Some fell upon stony places where they had not much earth. And forthwith they sprang up because they had no deepness of earth. And when the sun was up, they were scorched. And because they had no root, they withered away. And some fell among thorns, and the thorns sprang up and choked them. But other seeds fell into good ground and brought forth fruit, some 100-fold, some 60-fold, and some 30-fold. Now watch. Listen is a better word. Who hath ears to hear? Let them hear. What the Lord was saying was that, you know, there's going to be this sowing of the seed, but not seed, the sowing of the Word of God, the sowing of the gospel, and the truth of the Word of God, and there's going to be different kinds of listeners. Some are just hard. It'll never penetrate. They won't even give it, we would say, the time of day. It's just something they don't even want. And unfortunately, I have to say, I have neighbors, lovely people in a sense, but every time I've ever tried to talk to them about spiritual things, it was an instant closing of the ears. Just like a garage door slamming down between us. And there's just no penetration. And then there are those who fall on the shallow ground, the stony ground. It only has a little bit of dirt on top of the rocks, and it springs up quickly, but it has no real depth to it. And there are those who listen to the word, and they very quickly, glibly, without any real thinking, and then understanding of the importance, and understanding of their sinfulness, and really understanding their lostness, and they make this kind of profession, but they die off, because there's no reality there. And others among the thorns, and when the Lord interprets these for the disciples, he explains that these are the cares of the world. People make professions, and the cares of the world just come in and strangle them, and they don't give it any more thought. Other things take over the mind, and it really never really brings forth fruit as evident that there's life and evident that there's been conversion. But there are those seeds that fall into good ground, and those seeds bring forth fruit in various degrees. And there's various degrees of fruit in our lives when people are converted. It's not everyone comes out like a cookie cutter. There are various, each of us when we're saved have different baggage, different backgrounds, different problems. We're in different places. And when we're saved, the fruit and evidence of our conversion is not always the same and to the same extent, but there is fruit, and that's the key. And so he says, this comes about when you hear the gospel of the Lord Jesus. In fact, if you go to verse 23 of that same chapter, it says, "And he that receiveth seed in the good ground is he that heareth the word and understandeth, who also beareth fruit and bringeth forth some 100-fold, some 60, some 30. Now, a question would be this morning, for all of us who are present, have you heard the gospel of the Lord Jesus? When the Word of God comes and says to us that we are lost, that we are on a broad road that leads to destruction, that if nothing changes, our ultimate destiny is the lake of fire and judgment, but God in His grace has sent His own Son into this world to be a redeemer of sinners who will acknowledge their sin and put their faith and trust in Him and His work to save them. If that is heard in the sense of the last hearer, if it's taken in and penetrated and laid hold of, then the person produces fruit. There is evidence. That fruit is not something that is necessary in a sense for salvation, but it is the evident outworking of the salvation that has taken place. And the question we need to ask is, have you ever been converted? Have you ever heard the gospel of the Lord Jesus? Has it penetrated? Have you received it? Have you believed it? Have you put your faith in the Lord Jesus? If not, you're lost. If not, you're on that broad road, and it can end As we know well in this assembly, it can end abruptly and quickly, unexpectedly. So it isn't like you have years, well, I'll wait till I get further down the road. We don't have that luxury. The Word of God tells us that life is like a vapor, you know, it's here and gone. And so there's a necessity this morning, if you've never put your faith in the Lord Jesus, that you take in the word of the gospel of the Lord Jesus. You hear it. You act upon it. You receive it. The Bible says, believe on the Lord Jesus Christ, and thou shalt be saved. It's not a long, elaborate creed. It's not a long, elaborate list of duties you have to do. It's not church membership. It's taking in this word of good news of the gospel of the Lord Jesus, receiving into heart and believing it that Christ died for you and paid the price of your sins. And the Bible says, thou shalt be saved. Now, ears are important also. If you go back to Exodus chapter 21, not only in our salvation, they are obviously important for those of us who know the Lord as our Savior and who want to live for Him. We don't live for Him in order to earn salvation. We live for Him because we are saved, and it's an expression of our love for Him. And this chapter gives us the case of one who expresses his love and devotion with his ears, or particularly in this case, with his ear. Exodus 21, verse 1. Now these are the ordinances which thou shalt set before them. If thou buy a Hebrew servant, 6 years he shall serve, and in the seventh he shall go out free for nothing. Now these were indentured servants. These were people who owed money. And one way of paying off their debt would become a servant. Verse 3, and if he came in by himself, meaning he was single, he shall go out by himself. If he was married, then his wife shall go out with him. If his master hath given him a wife, and he has borne him sons or daughters, the wife and the children shall be her master's, and he shall go out by himself. In other words, if there has been marriage and children during the time he was serving, the children and his wife do not go out automatically with him when he is set free. This is true when it comes to salvation. Children are not saved and redeemed and set free when their parents are saved. A parent can be saved. That doesn't save his partner. Doesn't save his wife. Doesn't save his children either. Each of us need to personally come to grips with the truth of the gospel of the Lord Jesus. Each of us need to be saved. What our parents do is not going to impact us. Now, it's a blessing to have saved parents. I know that personally. It's a wonderful thing to live in a home where my parents loved the Lord and spoke of the Lord and served the Lord. But their salvation didn't save me. And your parents' salvation won't save you, or your husband's salvation won't save you, or your wife's salvation won't save you. It's an independent, individual thing. Verse 5, and if the servant shall plainly say, I love my master, my wife, and my children, I will not go out free, then his master shall bring him unto the judges. He shall also bring him to the door, or unto the doorpost, and his master shall bore his ear with an awl, and he shall serve him forever. In other words, this servant has a choice at the end of the time. He could just walk away, leaving his wife and his children still under the bondage, shall we say, of the master. But because he loves his wife and his children, but also his master, he's willing to go to the doorpost and have a hole punched in his ear. And that hole says, from this time forward, You're under my direction forever, and you're willing to take instructions from me. You're willing to hear what I say. And isn't that what the Lord Jesus is asking of those of us who know Him as our Savior? Is to listen to what He says. To devote ourselves to Him. To express to Him that we love Him. He said it very plainly, didn't He? If you love me, keep my commandments. Now, we're not keeping those commandments because we want to get saved. We are saved. We're keeping them because we want to express our love for the Lord Jesus. And we do it by listening to Him. Of course, the word often in Scripture is obeying Him. And the word obeying has the thought of hearing Him, hearing under Him, appreciating the fact that He's the master and I'm the servant. And so your ears and my ears are going to have a great role in how we serve and how we walk and the Lord for the Lord Jesus. Because if we're not willing to listen for Him, to Him, or we're not listening for Him, meaning we're not even listening for Him to give us what He would like us to do. And of course, that comes through the Word of God. And so we're not listening to the Word of God and how the Lord would want us to live. Because the Word of God tells us a lot about how He would want us to live. And the question is, do we listen or do we just write it off? Or do we ignore it? Or do we, as we talked about yesterday, simply not believe it? We can believe the Lord for our salvation and turn around and not be believers in other areas. And so you see, our ears play a major role. And our ears are to be sanctified. Exodus 29, you could go there. Exodus 29, 20. Let me just say while you're turning there, when it comes to mothers and ears, I still can't explain it, how the hearing that mothers have. I never was in a situation where I was doing something I shouldn't be doing. But I have heard stories that mothers have a way of hearing when no one else does. But I do know this from raising children. I could beat around my room, our bedroom, take a shower, get dressed, bang drawers, and my wife would never wake up. If a child just whimpered once or cried a speck, she would wake up. Now that just amazed me and always has for years. How that works, I don't know. But here's a case now when we come to this chapter, verse 20. Then thou shalt kill the ram. And this has to do with Aaron and his sons and the priesthood. Then thou shalt kill the ram and take of his blood and put it upon the tip of the right ear of Aaron. There it is. He's to be a person where his ear is sanctified, meaning his ear is dedicated to the Lord. He's to have that ear listening to the Lord. And upon the tip of the right ear of his sons, and upon the thumb of their right hand, now their deeds, their doing, should be sanctified holy before the Lord. And upon the great toe of their right foot, now their walk is to be sanctified, set apart to the Lord. I think we know as Christians, we have been set apart. We've been divided off, and by God's grace alone, not anything of our doing, but we've been divided off, and we're now Christians, and we're the Lord's people, and because of that, we're to walk differently, we're to talk differently, but we're also to be listening differently. When God speaks, this country's not listening. But if there's any group of people who should be listening, it's Christians. Listening to the Word, listening to God's will. And that's what the Word is, isn't it? It's God's will. Sometimes we say, I'd like to know the will of God for my life. Well, the will of God for your life, first of all, you're going to find in the Word of God. It was an older brother that is with the Lord now. And we were, when we were young people, 10 years ago or so, he would constantly say to us, because the question amongst young people always was, what's the will of God for my life? Should I go to college, not go to college? Should I be a doctor or a plumber? There's not a whole lot of difference between them. But should I be this or that? The whole question, you know. And he used to say, listen, first of all, you tell us, the will of God's in the Word of God. That's the moral will of God. You want to know the moral will of God? Before you even think about college and being a plumber or a doctor or whatever, you know what you really want to know is the moral will of God for your life. How you should live. Regardless of what you do and where you go and what education you get, you want to know how to live. And he always said this to us, very powerful. If you knew it, would you do it? You know, we say, well, I want to know the will of God for my life. Yeah, well, if you knew it, would you do it? It's a challenge, isn't it? And we find that will in the Word of God, and sanctification is one of them, including our ears. The street we currently live on is one that is often used by those who religiously jog. And I say religiously because I'm up sometimes very early in the morning, and not always because I want to be, but I am. And I may be sitting there and I see this kind of movement out my window, and sure enough, somebody's out there running, but they're always running with their headset on. First of all, I often wondered how they hear a car coming or something else that might be happening. But I'm wondering, what is it they're listening to? All the time they're running, they're listening to something. And you know, all the time we're running, we're listening to something. And I must express my fears as to what often I fear all of us listen to, particularly those who live with their headsets on. Recently, we were in a restaurant, and the parents were sitting there, and across from them was their daughter, and their daughter had her headset on in the restaurant, and there was absolutely no communication between him and her. She was in another world. And you know, what we listen to is going to determine what world we're in. We want to understand that our ears should be as much sanctified as our feet, that we have ears that are open to the Word of God, sensitive to His leading, sensitive to His direction, sensitive to His will, not blocked out by sound. And so our ears are vital to us. Where will you spend eternity? It's a question whether you'll hear the gospel of the Lord Jesus, repent, and believe it. How are we going to be as those who serve Him? Are we going to have that devotion, that love for Him, because we devote, as it were, our ears, our hearing to Him? We just want to hear His will. We mentioned it yesterday. There is just so much in this life, and I have to confess to you, even in my life, that just takes up the mind, eats it up, chews it up. So much we have put into our lives. We were talking yesterday about racing. We were saying that to many, the Christian race is like a horse race. They just go in circles. And you have to really ask ourselves, is our life really making any advancement? Are we going straight ahead toward glory, or are we just going in circles? And there's so much that interrupts the hearing. And that really means sometimes we're going to have to make hard choices to get rid of things. We're going through that now. We actually started to, well, believe it or not, you can walk through my office. You can actually make your way through it. It's actually organized. You couldn't find anything, but it's organized. And other things we've done in our home, we are making choices. We are throwing things out. We are giving things away. We're having a moving sale on June 24th. You can put that down. But we're getting rid of things. Sometimes it's hard, you know. I say, Nancy, we can't get rid of that. Don't you realize that that's when, blah, 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 and I go on? No, we got to make the hard choice. And so it is with our lives. We got to make hard choices with respect sometimes to what we're hearing and what's blocking our mind and occupying our mind as compared to our ear being open to the will and word of God. So our ears will determine where we spend eternity. They will demonstrate our love for the Lord Jesus. They are to be sanctified for the Lord. And they will determine, and we won't take time to develop, but they will determine whether we have successful Christian lives or not. Parents often spend a lot of time and a lot of money making sure their children are successful. But if we really want to make a good investment, we need to make sure that our children are good listeners, particularly to the Word of God. And that's why it's so great to have them memorize the Word of God. Because God takes the Word that's implanted and brings it forth, doesn't He, many times to our minds. And it's good that they do it while they can, when they're young. So when you think of your ears, you look in the mirror tomorrow, or you're washing behind your ears, which, you know, I do once a month, whether I need it or not, kind of thing. When you're washing behind your ears and doing all those good things, remember how important they are. And if you're here without Christ this morning, you need to hear the gospel. Not just hear it mechanically. The gospel is that Christ came into the world to save sinners. He's not asking you to clean your life up. He's not asking you to do any better. He's asking you to acknowledge your need of a Savior and trust Him and take Him and believe Him as your, on Him as your Savior. And you need to hear that, not just mechanically, but in the heart. And then there's salvation. Let's just close in prayer. Gracious God and Father, we're so thankful for the Word of God, that it reveals to us your great plan of salvation for lost men and women. We're so thankful it's based on grace and not works, that it's not depending on us working our way to heaven, but you're willing to provide us with a gift of eternal life if we'll acknowledge our sinfulness and turn to Thee and accept your provision in the person of the Lord Jesus. Thank you, too, that those of us who know Him as our Savior, that we have the privilege of serving Him, of being used of Him. And we pray that our ears would be receptive to His will, that we would be ever conscious of that will and living accordingly and listening for what He would have us to do. We pray you would help us to take any encumbrances or hindrances away from hearing that will, that we would make those choices perhaps that need to be made, that seem to rob us of time considering your will and your word. Lord, we just commit thy word to thee now, ask thy blessing upon it, and upon the remainder of the day. We pray this in the name of the Lord Jesus Christ. Amen.